we start today's episode, just to let you know, you can now nominate for the 2025 Northern Power Women Awards to be in with a chance of celebrating with changemakers, trailblazers and advocates on the 6th of March 2025. Nominate now at wearepower.net.
Power Women Podcast. For your career and your life, no matter what business you're in.
Hello and welcome to the Northern Power Women Podcast. This is our Path to Power season, and every week I'm talking to fantastic change makers and trailblazers who are making a difference in their communities, in their organizations. They're challenging the norm and creating more inclusive cultures. And every week I'm always learning something new from our guests. I am always getting inspired. I'm getting that advice and guidance to help me with my own personal, professional and personal growth as well. So I hope you take a lot away from each of these sessions as we do them. And this week will be no exception now, because I am delighted to be talking to Zoe Gill, who is the Vice President for CGI's UK Safeguarding and Identity Subsector. That is a title and a half. Zoe, welcome to the podcast.
It is, isn't it? Nice to be here. Thanks for having me, Simone.
Oh, no, it's brilliant. And I always love the chats that we have before on the podcasts. I always think we should just press record, because some of the stuff, it's like we're putting the world to rights in that sort of like the last 10 minutes as we were having our chat. And Zoe, you've been in IT and digital and technology for the last two decades. What changes have you seen?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing I can think of is there's definitely more women around now than when I initially started, especially in the role that I'm in today. Growing up, I didn't really personally feel that there was that many role models like me. I know that's a bit of a sweeping generalization, but in terms of the background that I've got or what I aspired to, kind of married children, I didn't really see that. But I have to confess, I've always been really lucky in terms of my engagement in IT. You know, I've never felt held back. I've always been really well developed. So yeah, I can definitely see there's changes, but not too much.
And what challenges do you think that there are? You know, it's great that you've not sort of been faced with those, but what challenges do you think there are out there, and how can the industry address and overcome some of those challenges?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can read all of the statistics that IT as an industry really does struggle with diversity. You know, in the UK, only 28% of IT workers are women, and across the globe, it's even less at only 19%. Ethnicity in the UK is also an issue, again, with maybe 25% of workers from ethnic minorities. And quite shockingly, that figure halves when we look purely at senior roles. So in CGI, the company that I work for, we're kind of really keen on leadership diversity. We've got many multiples of diversity, equity, inclusion networks, and they're all member-led. The great thing about it is they're backed by senior executive sponsors, and our cabinet is led by our UK CEO with a, you know, really rich engagement. And I think talking about the diversity is absolutely the first step. I also run a little podcast within CGI, and it centres around leadership. And one of the things that we're trying to do over the course of the next series is really put a spotlight on that importance of diversity in leadership and get people to bring, as you said before, those hints, tips, techniques about what they've done in their career and how they've made it work.
I know, and it is those little side hacks, isn't it, that you hear that, you know, other people are using or whatever. It's not a, you know, I think that's what we'd pass that knowledge on, isn't it? You know,
it is. And you know, when we done the Northern Power List, we got all the Power List members together. I went on one of the mentoring sessions, and we all just got to know each other a little bit and shared, how many networks have you got? And is there too many networks? And what do you do with your networks when they reach a point in time? So it was great to cross-fertilise and share ideas. We really did learn a lot from each other that day.
I think there's something really important about that. We've launched a Power Exchange, and the Power Exchange is absolutely about that. It's about that kind of knowledge exchange, but specifically we're focusing around like social impact, social value, and actually making the impact from the value of your light, because, you know, and taking that, there's no compete in this. I think that's where this whole community that we've built, whether it's across Northern Power Women, across the Power Collective, you know, this community is about, it's about bringing those, you know, sort of passing that knowledge on, isn't it?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think that's the best bit when you start to engage with different organisations, even if they are from your same sector. Kind of diversity and social value feels like a safe space to be able to share best practice, because let's face it, who doesn't want the industry to get better? And I think as long as we remember that, there's that knowledge exchange will become really, really important.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think then that's how we accelerate. It's almost how we sort of create that incubator to like really kind of, you know, make, you know, brill those great ideas and great collaborations and connections to life. And you talk about, I know you really thrive on sort of leadership and high performing teams. There's been a lot of talk about that recently, but what do you think constitutes a high performing team?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of podcasts, and I listen to a lot of different podcasts around this subject. There's one in particular, and they start the pod with, what does high performance mean to you? So for me, it's really strange for you to ask me this question. I think firstly, high performance and a high performing team is slightly different. So you and I have just been chatting a little bit about the Women's World Cup final and you know, the high performance that was clearly visible within that team, and the qualities that a coach like Serena has brought to that. I think initially, everybody who's part of the team has got to constantly go the extra mile. They've got to push themselves out of their comfort zone to achieve great things. I think when you then add in how you make that team work, for me, it's about a flow, a common understanding, maybe unwritten rules and some joint set of goals to achieve. And I think it must be so hard to take a set of high performing individuals, remove any egos and make them work to better as a team. So yeah, I think for me it is about being on top of your game, but pushing yourself beyond the norm of that expectation and really, really striving for the best of the best.
It's interesting you talk about the Lionesses, you know, and the World Cup. I'm still grieving, I think, for the whole. I love the tournament. I found the whole tournament to be sort of, you know, really inspiring. And I love the fact that we're still talking about legacy. So I think, you know, whilst we're all sort of devastated that, you know, that the Lionesses didn't win the World Cup this time, the fact that the change is, you know, we talk about the on the shoulders of giants, aren't we? And that what has been achieved, you know, after winning the Euros last year, the European final last year, and then to go into this tournament. And you do see that lack of ego, and the fact that I love the circle that, you know, that Serena circle that, you know, she creates, that literally is bringing people together. And I think the nature of that, I think seeing that circle unbroken, if you like, it doesn't make any allowance for ego, does it? You know,
and
it
yeah, absolutely. And I think that was across many of the other teams in the World Cup as well. I was reading something on LinkedIn, I think, about just how no nonsense, no ego, it you know, from the outside, us watching, it really did do a lot, that team performance right across many different teams. And I think you're absolutely right with the word legacy. What those ladies have achieved really is going to help our kids of tomorrow.
Absolutely. And even like, you know, you talk about one of the things in and it's men's football, they have like a walking football. And I wonder, you know, it's so important from a younger age, but I hope it kind of continues on through sort of all ages, you know. And I think that's, you know, I think that's really important. While we're on sport and stuff, like, you know, the power that we had of the netball with the roses as well, you know, kind of netball has been kind of quite instrumental to get women back into sport at a later age as well. So I think, you know, there's always been this challenge, hasn't there, with girls disconnecting from sport at an early age. You don't learn to win together. You don't learn to lose together. And I'm saying that because I know we're both Evertonian, Zoe, as well, you know. So we know a lot about that one, don't we?
Absolutely. We know a lot. Resilience building.
But I think that whole, you know, that coming together, I think for me, I've still got lots of reflections on, you know, sort of the watching these teams, how they perform, how they communicate, how they talk, that language of we. You know, you talk about there being no I in team, but you know, I think all of that. How do you go about sort of, you know, we've talked about the elements of your high performing team, but where do you start with this? You know,
for me, I start with the basics, because I think if you don't have strong foundations with really clear expectations and that strong culture, you know, for me, do the small things properly, you're never going to get to that high performance and do it consistently. For me, high performance is created by design, not by luck. Like, you might be high performing for a short period of time and be lucky, but I think in terms of doing it properly, consistently, and, you know, following that throughout, it has to be by design. And depending on your end goal, you need different people to help you achieve it. As a leader, understanding people's strengths and weaknesses and really getting the best out of people. I think as I've grown up in my career, I've realized that I don't have to be the best at everything, and I don't have to be fearful about people in my team knowing more than me. You know, they're there to give that part of the team and make us stronger. Serena can't necessarily be the striker. She's the brain power. I think the other thing is, trust, rapport, that connection. And as I said before, you know, you can have the technical competence, but if you've not got those soft skills, that ability to flow as a team, you might not get where you need to get to. And I often have a phrase, nobody likes a brilliant jerk. So you could be the most technically competent person on the planet, but if you don't meet that culture that I'm trying to create within a team, then it's just not going to work.
I love that. What was that? Nobody loves a brilliant jerk.
Nobody loves a brilliant jerk, yeah.
For those of you who listen to the podcast, you know I'm always kind of, there's always a great soundbite that I always think, that's on a tote bag. That needs to be on a tote bag or a meme or something like that. But it's, and you know, we talk about diverse teams and, you know, everyone wants to aspire to have, you know, oh, we need more women, we know people of color. And then when we're recruiting, you know, how often do you hear or read, oh, you know, we can't find the women, we can't find global majority individuals, we can't find, you know, we can't find individuals in neurodiversity. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I think first, it's an excuse, isn't it? And go out of your way to find a recruiter or somebody doing the recruitment on your behalf to reach a larger audience. The UK is a really diverse population, and we need to ensure that we're doing more so that people are keen to apply for the roles. As a tech organisation, we know there's loads of software out there now that can help with wording an advert so it's more diverse. So, like, I didn't realise, but there's male language and there's female language, and desensitising that language so that people are more inclined to look at a job advert. But then, as I'm sure people have said on this pod before, we need to get in early. We need to be going into schools. We need to be making sure that we're telling people about what careers are out there, because I don't know about you, Simone, but when I was, you know, 10, 11, 12, I never knew that the types of careers that we've done even existed. So just helping people to understand what it is we do and the types of jobs that are out there.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, because how on earth does anybody know what the Vice President for UK Safeguarding and Identity subsector is, isn't it? What does one of those look like?
Yeah, my kids, they basically say, Mum sits in the office and talks on Teams all day. That's what they think my job is. And you know what? They're not far wrong, but the things that go into it and the kind of variety that I get involved in, the best way to describe it is I run a little business within a really big business. So my day can go from HR to strategy to legal to commercial to a bit of new business work, anything and everything. It's got the breadth and it's got the depth.
That sounds like the life of an entrepreneur, to be honest.
It is. I know. I just don't take all the profits home at the end of the day.
Darn it. Talk to me about mentoring, because that's obviously one of our most favorite things. If we're not talking about great leadership, empathetic leadership, and vulnerable vulnerability and we're talking about role models, we're talking about mentoring. And, you know, to your point, you know, we do these power up sessions every single month, and that's all about enabling our early emerging young professionals to have conversations with people from the world of work and go, this is what a vice president consulting CGI, you guys, this is what one of those looks like. You know, this is what someone who is in the Navy looks like. This is what someone who works for a professional services company. Actually, you're all different within those organizations. This is what I do, and this is what my path has been. And I think we're really passionate about kind of unearthing, you know, those. It's just, I suppose it's our disrupting a bit of the careers area. But talk to us about mentoring and why it's so important for you to be a mentor.
Yeah, I think for me, I've been so fortunate in my own career. I've always had a mentor, a coach, a sponsor, and without them, I probably wouldn't be where I am today. So it's really important for me to be able to give back. Most of my mentees end up becoming my friends, and it becomes a bit of a two-way street. You know, I'm not saying necessarily that should be correct, but I think being able to build a relationship with someone so they know they can pick up the phone to you and ask anything at any time is just so important to me. And not, you know, my husband, my family, my friends, nobody does a job anything like what I do. So without that network of mentorship and coaches, I wouldn't have the sounding board to speak to, and I still need that today.
Absolutely. And I think when you've got multiple mentees out there, how do you, if you like, ensure that you're being the best mentor you can for each? Because your mentees don't all come out of the same box either, do they? Do you?
You're dead right. And as the famous saying goes, we're all different, aren't we? And it's really crucial to recognise that. So the way I work with one mentee might be completely different to another. I go back to basics again. I always try and understand what makes people tick. What is it they're trying to achieve? And does my experience background enable me to be able to help them? Because sometimes it won't. And sometimes I have to be able to say, oh, you know, I can't necessarily help with that, but let me help you go away and find out who I can. I've mentored a lot of younger people as well. And I think the other thing to be really conscious of is patience. So if I was mentoring somebody within the CGI business, I probably got higher expectations of what we do in our first few sessions than whether I'm working with maybe a year 10 student. And at first I thought, oh God, they hate me. Like, they're not opening up, they're not sharing anything with me. And actually what I found is it took a long time for them to build trust and for them to be able to speak up and ask me things. And that little bit of patience just meant that it took a bit longer to get to where we needed to get to.
I think that sometimes happens, isn't it, with mentoring. I want to call it something else, because especially when you're trying to, I spoke with 70 officer cadets down in Devon a few weeks ago for the Royal Navy. And, you know, so you've got a mixture of these are first, second, third year, you know, undergrads. And in a room, I asked the question, you know, who thinks they're a role model? You know, one half a hand. Who has got a mentor? Zero. Not one hand went up. And I'm like, well, the first thing you've got straight away is the peer group that you're here with. But I suppose one of my challenges is, how do you explain what that is? It's, you know, here's someone, you know, you've just talked to, you know, having those different people you can talk to help you inform your life and your decisions. And I feel like sometimes we all know what mentoring is, but I think there's an element of how do we re-educate on it, that everyone is worthy and deserving of a mentor, not just high performers or not just fast track. It's everyone, because for me, mentoring is about being the best version of you. So, you know, how do we educate better? And because that way we can unearth even more diversity across mentorship as well in our mentees.
Completely agree. And I think, you know, I mentioned that leadership podcast that I'm running at the moment. One of the reasons we want to do it is because myself and the gentleman that I'm doing it for in our team, we're both really passionate about the fact that everybody has a talent and everybody deserves a voice and the opportunity to grow. Not when you get to a certain grade or not when you're trying to achieve that grade. So I think the first thing is talking, you know, people like yourself, making sure this is constantly visible, audible out there, and us going out of our way to reach different audiences. audiences. So platforms like LinkedIn is brilliant from a working network perspective, but you know, maybe TikTok and Instagram and some of the cooler platforms that the young people want. When I got the Powerlist nomination, my daughter was 12 at the time. And I remember trying to explain to her what it was. And, you know, we're not great at bigging ourselves up, women, are we? And I remember talking to her about it, and she was like, that's so cool, Mom. Like, I didn't know that that's what you did. Like, could I speak to somebody? I was like, I'm your mom. Like, you can speak to me whenever you want. So, and then her little friends were like posting pictures going, Phoebe's mom's on the power list. And I think that as a network, getting that out there is absolutely amazing. We should just keep shouting about it over and over.
Oh, I've got goosebumps about that. That's amazing. And the thing we always say about the power list, the future list, is like, you know, once you're in, you're in. It's not like you have to apply every year. It's the whole, you could go in, you know, move to Australia and, you know, you have a totally different career change, run a, you know, a backpacking center, whatever it is, but you're still that power woman. You're still that power woman. That it's about using that power for good. Oh, that's so amazing that that's what, you know, your daughter and her friend's reaction. Oh, God,
and that's really cute, isn't it?
I'm like grinning from ear to ear now, because which obviously you can hear really well on a podcast. But that's so great, because that's what it's about. It's encouraging people to high five their achievements and celebrate those. And oh gosh, we're onto legacy. That's legacy as well, isn't it? I'm thrilled to bits. You made my day. What's your daughter called?
Phoebe.
Being your pals, thank you, and absolutely high-fiving all those brilliant role models. And finally, what is your sort of takeaway? Why is mentoring, what do you get from being a mentor? I know you said it works both ways, we know that, don't we? You know,
it does. Yeah, I think for me, I'm very, I wear my heart on my sleeve. I'm quite emotive as a person, and there's nothing more fulfilling to me than knowing I've helped somebody else achieve their goals. And I'm really fortunate that I can like reminisce on stories where my involvement has led to a success for a mentee. You know, the people that we're working with are the talent of tomorrow. And I think as long as people want me to continue to help them, I'll absolutely want to continue to give back.
Oh, that's amazing. I love it. I love it. I love it. Lovely. Thank you so much for making my day today.
Really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Phoebe, as well. Thank you as well. It's so massively important. I love having these conversations. I love being able to have, you know, the inspiration that I get from these conversations. Zoe, thank you so much for joining me today. Please keep being kick-ass and awesome.
No problem. Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
Oh, and thanks all of you for listening today. Please do tune in every single week when I'm talking to some brilliant, brilliant role models. You can stay connected. All of our podcasts, our insights, our Power Up mentoring sessions that we do are all on our digital hub, wearepower.net, and all completely free. So please do sign up. And if you would like to join us on our mission of this professional and personal development, please do leave a review and stay connected with us on all our socials, cool and otherwise. It's at North Power Women on Twitter, or we're not Twitter anymore, X. Yeah, whatever it's called. And Northern Power Women on all of our other socials. Thank you so much for listening today. My name's Simone. This is the Northern Power Women podcast, at What Goes On Media Production.